Amen.
We greet you this evening in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Brother Kevin, I'll be honest with you. I listened to him, and he said things that you can't, that you can do for yourself, and things that you can't do for yourself.
That's right, brother.
So often we sit back and we lay back on our feelings and we wait on something to move when God's done already made the way. And then when God makes a way, we were guilty of sitting back and not listening or not doing. Just like when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of bondage, he done brought them out of slavery, mm-hmm. got them over to the Red Sea, and they were all wondering what God was going to do for him now. Yeah. I mean, you got the Pharaoh and his army on one side and the sea on the other. What are you going to do for me now, God? Well, you need to shut up and listen, and God's going to help you.
Yeah.
Moses had to tell him, he said, stand still.
See.
A lot of times we're guilty of standing, but we ain't guilty of seeing.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I have a God, but he don't do things in the dark. He does things wide open. What he done for Peter, he done right in the broad daylight.
He sure did, buddy.
He didn't do it behind people's backs.
No.
And when he works the same, brother. I tell you, I'm thankful for him, but sometimes you and I are guilty, or at least I am. You may be better than I am. You may be all a little bit holier and a little bit righteous than I am, but I'm a failure. I mess up and I come short. There's things that I need to do that I don't do, and there's things that I do that I don't need to do. Absolutely. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But I'm thankful that I have a loving and a mighty, a powerful God. Boy, when I'm weak and as a lot of people says, I may act like I'm senile, but I ain't really senile. I'm just... Sometimes I get stubborn and I get disobedient and I find myself in places that I shouldn't ever be, and I ain't talking about any bad places. You know what the worst place you can be is in life for me anyway? Ignoring God in my life. That's the worst possible place. You know where the worst place a sinner could be?
Yeah.
Staying in sin, ignoring God when he calls.
Amen, brother.
God expects us something out of us. He don't set us just to sit there twiddling our thumbs and looking through our newspapers and Facebook and YouTubes and TikToks and what is that other thing, Snapchats. He expects something out of us.
That's right, brother.
Amen. I love him, Dave. If you have your Bibles, turn over to the fifth chapter of the book of Nehemiah.
Amen.
The thought that's been on my mind, I'll be honest with you, I preached from it once before, and for 3 days, this thought has been on my mind, and I've tried to go in other places, and I've tried to read other things, but God kept bringing me right back to this same thought and this same chapter. And I figure he knows more than I am, more than I do. I told Ming Garrett, was talking right before service, that you and I, a preacher, don't stand up here and tell you what he thinks. He stands up here and tells you what God thinks. See, five words of God's words is more powerful and accomplish way more than a multitude of my words. See, my problem is I've never sent to save nobody. I've never helped nobody. I've done just the opposite and down in my life. But I'm telling you right now, when we look upon God and we listen for his voice, we can find our help. We can find our deliverance. We can find our salvation. See, the same words that'll help a Christian man, that'll turn him from the path that he's on, that same word will also save the lost man.
Amen.
See, we're guilty right now. We sit back and say, well, this message was for this one or this message for that one. If you really want to, if you desire something out of God, then you sit back and you listen, and God will give you what you need.
Amen.
But when he gives it to you, you've got to do something with it. You can't just wad it up and put it in your pocket and carry it home. And it's funny that I said that, because the very thought in my mind is, today is, what's in your pocket? You might not understand that right now, but Brother Kevin, hopefully they will in just a few minutes. If you're not familiar with the book of Nehemiah, I couldn't tell you after countless times I've preached from the first chapter to the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and God is just flat out, I've heard messages from the time that I was just a little kid about the book of Nehemiah. If you're not familiar with it, it was about a man that got a burden for his people. Amen. You'll find where when the Bible first opens up and talking about him in the first chapter, you'll find where Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. In other words, he was a bondservant. He was brought into captivity. You'll find where he had a burden for his people. See, his hometown was destroyed. The walls was tore down. The gate was burnt down. His people was stuck into bondage. All kinds of messes, and he had a burden in his life to go back and refix what was tore down. And he it wasn't a burden that he said, you know what, God, could you send somebody else? It was a burden. No, God, send me. I'll go and I'll do it. And you know what? Yes. It was a burden that disturbed him so much when he come before the king. The king seen something wasn't right with Nehemiah and began to question him. And you know what Nehemiah did? He didn't go over and he didn't put it off on somebody else. He picked up his own hands and he started rebuilding what the enemy had tore down. And I'll be honest with you, if that ought to be our desire right now, that we've allowed the enemy in our lives. You look around today and I don't know how it is in Martin or Pike County, but back in Martin County, I'm telling you, the sin is running rapid on every hand. We've got people, like you said a while ago, that said, I'm a child of God. They were a name on a book somewhere, but I'm telling you, their life is not lining up to what the book says. And if you say something about it, the first thing they say, who are you to judge me? Then you have to look at him and say, I don't have to judge you, but I can sure look at God's word, and then let me know that you're not where you need to be. With God, nobody wants correction no more. They don't want to do what God said. They got herself in a form of fashion where they want it their way. But I'm afraid to tell you today, we're not Burger King. We can't have it our way. See, it's God's way or no way. I'm telling you, if we get in that mindset today, we'll not have no problem making heaven our home. Let me back up our Brother Kevin, because somebody misunderstand something that I said. In life I'll have troubles and trials. I'll go through it just like Nehemiah did. I'll have problems come up my life. But my God also let me know that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. But he'll go all the way. Even with me. Even until the end of the world. Nehemiah found that so true in his life. His God was with him when he was over there in captivity. He goes back and here he was standing before his people proclaiming the design plan of God. Amen. I'm telling you, he didn't ask them what they thought. He told them what God said. I'm telling you, if we get that aspect today, we would be a whole lot better off. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to get somewhere. But if you go on right on over in the book of Nehemiah, you'll find where Nehemiah faced some hard times in his life. It come to a point where they had to build a wall with one hand and then fight off the enemies with the other. But he didn't give up. Then after he got started up on the wall, he come to the place in chapter 5 that he had addressed some things. See, there was some things going on that wasn't godly. See, there was a famine that was in this land. The people was been taxed to death by their own people. Here they was. The people was taking the taxing their people to the point that they couldn't even eat. They had to mortgage their land. They had to sell everything that they had just to be able to buy corn. Nehemiah began to go to them and began to let them know something other. He had to bind the words of God what they needed to do in order to be able to be helped. Do you know that's what God's got for us? He's got the words that you and I need for the very problem that you and I face. But here's what we got to do. We got to be obedient to it. As Brother Kevin said, we got to do what we can do. But when God moves, we got to be obedient to what he wants us to do. I'm telling you, we got right now in the world today, we got a bunch of people, Brother Kevin, that's been not very obedient to the Word of God. You know, when the Word of God gets tough on people today, you know what they'll do? They'll write them another one. They'll publish them another book. They'll call it a Bible. I'm telling you, God ain't in it. You can't make this Word fit your life. You got to make this and your life fit this Word.
Amen.
That's right, Father.
That's good. That's what Nehemiah was trying to tell him.
Tell it, buddy.
Let me read this, Brother Kevin. He got down in verse 6 in chapter 5. Let me get over here. Chapter 5. that, and he began to say something in verse 6. And he said, I was very angry. And he said, when I heard their cry, and he said, in these words, and he said, and then I consulted, and he said, with myself, and he said, and I rebuked the nobles, and he said, and the rulers, and he said, and I said unto them, and ye exact usher, and he said, every one of his brother, and he said, and I said a great assembly against them, and he said, and I said unto them, and they said, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, and the Jews, and in other words, he said, and here we are, we've came here, and to help them, and to deliver them out of bondage, and we came here, and to deliver them out of the enemy's hands, and to put up a wall of protection, and we didn't come here, and for you to take everything they have.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. And he begins to go on down. He said, y'all pray for a few minutes. He began to go on down and begin to say, he said, and ye will even sell your brethren. And he said, or shall they be sold unto us? And he said, then he held they their peace. And he said, and found nothing to answer. And he said, and also I said, and he said, it is not good that ye do aught. And he said, ye do not to walk in the fear of our God, because the reproach and of the heathen and our enemies. And he said, likewise, my brethren, and he said, and my servants, and the might exact of you, and there is might exact of them, and the money and corn. And he said, I pray you leave and us, leave off and this usury. And then he goes on down and begins to tell them something. And he said, restore. And he said, I pray to them, and the, even this day their lands, and he said, their vineyards, and their olive yards, and their houses, and in other words, give them back, and everything that you took from them. And then he begins to go on down also, and the 100th part of their money, and he said, other corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they said, ye exact of them. And they said, then he said, they, and they said, we will restore them, and they said, and we'll require nothing of them. And they said, so will we do this, and will we do as thou sayest. And they said, then I called the priest, and they said, That's what he was letting them know. Let me go on down before I get carried away. And they said, then I called a priest. And they said, and I took an oath of them. And they said that they should do according to this promise. And then you know what Nehemiah began to say. And he said, he said, I shook my laugh. Yeah. And Brother Kevin, I read this one night. And then I'll be honest with you. And I had no idea what he was trying to say. And because I didn't know what a laugh was. And let me educate you. And you can go Google that word. And the Brother Tyler, you know what it is. And it was a fold. And up in their garment. Yeah. And it was between their waistline to the kneecap. And in other words, it was a pocket. And where they hid their valuables. And where they took their possessions. And then they hid them. And that way nobody knowed. And what was in their pocket. And then here was Nehemiah. And began to look at him. And he said this. And he said, then I emptied out my pocket.
Yeah.
And then he didn't stop there. And I'm telling you, know what we need to do right now? And in the day and hour that you and I live in,
right.
And then we need to start emptying out our pockets. And the thing that's hindering us from having the relationship with God that you and I need to have. And then we are to be desiring to have. But here we are. We're stuck in a place. And that we think that we can hide it all. And that nobody's going to know about it. And nobody will know. But you know what we're guilty of. What we're guilty of. And we're guilty of trying to look at somebody else's pocket to see what they're carrying. And I'm going to be honest with you. And that ain't going to do you no good. And to look in your neighbor's pocket. And because you can't do one thing for them. And to see they've got to empty out their own pocket.
Yeah.
But Nehemiah didn't stop her. And when he said, I emptied out my lap. And he said, I shook it. And he said, I asked God to shake it out. And in other words, I had asked him to shake out any imperfections in my life that I may have that's hindering me. And I'm telling you something, brother. And then I look around today, and you know what our people are doing? And they're digging down deep, and then they're hiding it further and further. And instead of having a lap pocket, and they've got a pocket nowadays, and that stretches from their waistband to their ankles, and so they can hide all kinds of that stuff from God.
Amen.
You know what the problem is? Let me give you a little bit of secret. You know what the problem is?
God can see in your pocket. He knows what you need. See, we act like that God ain't going to see it, but the Bible says He knows every the thought, and He knows the very intentions of our heart, and He knows what's hindered us. But here we are, we're sitting back, saying, God bless me, God use me, but we're not wanting to let go of the very thing that's hindering our relationship. With God to start with.
Amen.
What Nehemiah was trying to say, Brother Kevin, he said, empty me out. And you know what the problem is. You can go over to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew and you'll find it. And I'm telling you, my mind is stirred up. And about the 25th verse, you'll find where he began to say, or 24th, he said, "You blind." And they said, "God, which and the strain at a," and they said, "at a gnat and swallow a camel." And he said, "Woe unto you, scribes." And they said, "And Pharisees." And they told, you know what he tells them they are. And he said, "You're hypocrites." And they said, "For you make clean the outside." And in other words, everybody sees what's on the outside of your life, but it's what you're doing at home, and it's what you're doing behind closed doors, and it's what you're carrying around in your pocket, and it's what you're reading, and when nobody else is watching, and it's a joke you have, and when you're not inside the church, and you know God will tell you and I, and He wants us to be the same man and the outside the church house, and as we act like we are on the inside.
Amen.
In other words, He's wanting us to empty out our pockets. And He's wanting us to say, see, when we empty it out, you know, we are desiring, and just the same as Peter desired to escape where he was at.
Yes.
And when the angel began to come, Peter had to get up and follow.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when God shakes it loose, you know what we ought to do? We ought to lay it down to the altar.
Amen.
And then allow Him to take it and then do away with it. See, there was a man by the name of David, that tried to hide a few things in his life. You'll find where sin, the great sin, with a woman named Bathsheba, you'll find where he tried to hide it, by having her husband killed, he had her in deep, thinking nobody would ever know. See, the problem was, God was looking all the time, while David was doing his great sin. I'm telling you something, other, God makes my mind go back. You remember, Ananias, Sapphira, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. See, they was trying to hide something from God too, but there was consequences. They had to land, it was theirs. Here's what happened. They tried to put on a show before God.
Oh, yeah.
They brought him to Peter. I sold your land. Said, "Here's what I sold. How much I sold it for." But the problem was, God knowed every penny they got out of it. It was theirs. To do what they wanted to do with it. But He didn't want their lives.
Yeah,
that's right, brother.
You know what happened to them?
That's right.
That day they faced the judgment of God. Ananias began to come through here, and he began to ask him, "Hey, Ananias, did you not sell it for this much?" "Well, yea, Lord. You know I did. I sold it for..."
Yeah.
But he lied. You know what happened to him? God struck him dead.
Amen.
And then the Bible began to say they carried him out and buried him. About a space of 3 hours, his wife came in. She didn't know he died.
No.
She didn't know he done faced the judgment of God. All because he was trying to hide something in his pocket. You know what happened to her? She faced the same fate that he did, because she was trying to hide. You know what he said? Why'd you allow Satan to enter in, other words? He put it in my own mouth. Why did you think you could lie to God? When He knows where you stand with Him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You want to know why our Christian people or lost people ain't getting saved today?
That's right.
I can tell that the kind of hide stuff from God.
Yeah.
And they're not giving it all to Him. They're thinking, "God, I had somebody coming. Y'all pray for a few minutes. I had somebody coming to church. They said, come and bow down to the altar." They got back up and they said, "I believe that God will save me. I believe that He is who He says He is. I believe He can." I look at Him and I said, "Well, do you think He won't? Do you think His promises are not true? Because He told me that He would. If you've come to Him, believing, but the problem is, they've got her buried down deep. Let me just hold on to my smokes. Let me hold on to my drinks. Let me hold on to my friends. Let me hold on to my television shows. I'm going to tell you something, other. If you ain't ready to give God 100% of you, don't expect Him to move in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
I don't serve a God of a percentage.
You know
what my God wants? He wants 100% of you now. See, I didn't get 5% of God when I got saved.
No.
My salvation wasn't based on 5% or 20%.
No.
Then when I got Him, I got Him all.
Amen.
And then you know what He wants out of me?
Oh,
and in order for me to get Him all, and I've got to give Him all.
Amen.
And then I'm going to tell you that if I don't give Him all, and then here's what the problem is. And then I don't know, y'all pray. And then we get back in a place, and then in our life where we don't feel the presence of God. And we sit back, what have I done, God? Where am I at? And we sit back, and then we allow what the... And that we're carrying in our life and that to affect our relationship and our prayer life and we allow and our spiritual blessings but yet we just continue and that to hold on and that to watch in our pockets. And you know, I sit back there a while ago and then I begin to and to feel around my pocket. There's all kinds of stuff and in my pocket that didn't need to be there. And I even feel in my vest pockets and I was carrying some stuff and even from Monday night and that I hadn't yet emptied out.
Yeah.
And that's the way we are. And we'll carry around and they'll load her up and then not expect God and then expect God rather and to move in our lives. Let me tell you something I've never read anywhere and the word God blessed is sin.
Amen. Amen.
Disobedience is sin.
Amen, brother.
You know that lying is sin.
It is, brother.
Fornication is still sin.
Yes.
That homosexuality is still sin.
Everything.
I'm telling you, language that you carry on with is still sin.
Amen.
See, that's stuff that they was, that Nehemiah was saying, God, he said, I'm going to empty out my pockets and I want you to shake me.
Yeah.
He said, I want you, God, just to let, turn loose. Let me help me turn loose of everything that I'm holding on to. And every seed of doubt. And every, and that guilt. And I sit back. And then I used to think about something other all the time. And then when our kids was young, brother, and the Kevin, you never did ask them or wouldn't even stick your hand in the pocket because it's hard to say. And the ones you come back out with. And the frog crawled in. And I'm telling you, they was all the way. Always trying to carry something around and in their pocket. And then I'll be honest with you, even times and there was some stuff got more stuff. We had some dehydrated frogs and a few times we've had some and the deep fried crawdads and a few times you know that's the way we are. And now I sit back and I thought and boy, how many times in my life and have I heard the voice of God and I know what needed to be done but I just continue to stand there and then think and I don't want this to come out, God, and I don't want you to know about God.
Yeah.
And David was in the same place.
Yeah.
But you know what David had to be reminded of? And they took a man of God and they took come to him and they let him know God knows exactly what you done.
That's right, brother.
He was a man.
Yes.
See, our problem is I'm looking in Kevin's pocket.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Brent Hayes' pocket.
Yeah.
I ain't looking at my pocket.
Yeah.
See, I know what I see when my relationship with God is, see, off just a little.
You know.
I know.
That's right.
Amen.
When I don't feel him, Brother Gerd, I know about it.
Amen.
I don't have to come to Gerd or I don't have to come
to
Kevin.
No.
I don't have to call my wife and say, I wonder what's going on. I'm not where I don't feel what I used to feel. And you know what I do? I take it to God because I know. And I see, and God placed something inside. And the man or a woman caught his spirit. And then I'm telling you, when his spirit moves, and then a man or a woman's life, and that they know what they need to do. But the problem is, and that their flesh desires, and they overwhelm the Spirit of God, and then they just kept on, and they're holding on to it.
Amen.
Good word, brother.
God said, let it go.
That's a good word,
brother.
Good word. I wonder tonight, I'm going to start, I'm going to ask you again, when I ask you, what's in your pocket?
Yes.
And I don't know, I really don't, Garrett. I don't know what's going on in anybody's life. It's not my job to.
Uh-uh.
I don't want to know one thing that you do down your life. But you know what God wants out of you? He wants you to recognize what's hindering you.
Right.
And He's wanting you to give that up. That way you might be. See, you know what God wants out of every one of us? He wants to use us in some aspect or another.
Yeah.
And He wants us to give us a job. And whether it be and the praying for the preacher. And whether it be witness to a lost man. And in other words, He wants the maximum life. And to come out of yours and I's life.
Amen.
And the only way and that we're ever going to have that and to happen. And the first we've got to get rid of. Whatever sin that's holding us back.
Amen, George.
Amen.
Good word tonight, buddy.
I started off to say I'm guilty.
I am too, brother.
I'm guilty. We're all guilty. You serve.
Yep. Yep.
Yes,
been times in my life I've been ashamed.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Because I knowed.
Do you think
David didn't know what was going on?
He knows. Yes, he did.
Do you think it became a secret to him when the old preacher had to come and say, David, let me give you a little parable, David. Do you think he didn't know? He was guilty, and so am I. So are you. Every one of us are guilty of it.
Amen.
We're guilty of going and doing things that when God tells us to go, we're guilty of saying, God, send somebody else.
Yeah.
And we'll sit back in prayer request and we'll say, God, please pray for this one or that one that's that needs Jesus in her life. Well, maybe God put him on your mind, and that way you can get up off your carcass and go to him.
Amen. You're right.
But no, here we are. We're constantly looking at somebody else's pocket.
Yes.
See how wide Thurlow is. See who'd be better at the job than me.
So true, brother.
You know what God called you to do the job, and quit blaming and trying to push it off on somebody else.
Yes.
Because here's what's happening. And Brother Kevin, you know why Nehemiah had to go to these people? Because they was people dying.
They sure was, brother.
They was people starving. They didn't have nothing to eat.
Children dying.
You look around, your children, buddy, I'm telling you, my children, my grandchildren, whenever they come, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, their souls is at stake. Amen. God's wanting me to get it out. I might be able to help them.
Amen, Jordan.
Amen.
And if you don't want to do it for yours, do it for mine, please.
Yes.
I sit back and I don't know. I sit back and I got thinking, how did we get to a place that we're at?
Yes.
You know what the Bible says? Because we've allowed the God of this world to blind our eyes.
That's right. That's right.
That we can't see you far off.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
See, there's consequences in sin.
That's right.
You remember in the seventh chapter, and I'm trying to.
You're all right.
Remember in the seventh chapter of the book of Joshua, when God had done brought the children of Israel, he done brought them out of bondage. Moses had died, and here he was. He brought them over there into the promised land. But he told them, he gave them ground rules. He let them know. He said, hey, you don't take nothing. He told them it was a curse. Don't take nothing from the people that I'm delivering your hands. And he said, if you'll follow me and me only, and then obey my word.
Amen.
And they said, I'll deliver all the enemies in your hand. And here they was. They come up against and I believe it was the Amorites. And then here they was. And the first time they got defeated.
Yes.
You want to know why they got defeated?
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Here it was, old Joshua begin to lay down, boy, in the dirt, and begin to put his head in the ground.
Yeah.
He began to cry, God, why have you done this? And you know what God had said? It wasn't me, it was you.
Yeah.
It was your people. It was a sin in your camp.
That's right, buddy.
You want to blame everybody else for your shortcomings? You want to blame the Liberty Church or Kevin Bowling or your mother or your father? And I'm telling you, and you know who's responsible for your soul? And it's between you and God.
Amen.
Amen, George.
You know what the Bible says? He said, God told me, he said, you take all the children of Israel, you call them out the tribes.
Tell them, praise the Lord.
Just call them out the tribes now. When it come down to Achan, boy, Achan come out guilty of sin.
Good, praise God.
And he knowed he was called.
That's
he knowed that they was something they was hearing. And I'm telling you something, Brother Kevin. And
the thing
he's in, and we'll always take you further than you want to go. And then it'll keep you longer than you want to stay.
That's right, brother. You're right.
Good
you know what though? How Achan said, he said, it's me.
Yeah.
It was me. He said, when I seen a Babylonian garment, he said, I seen this, where'd you go? And I seen all this silver. And they said, here's where it's at. And I took it back. And I hid it in my tent.
Yeah.
In other words, and it was about like old Nehemiah was. And the Nehemiah was telling me in the other pocket. And the God was telling me in your house out. There's something in your house that's hindering you from having the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen, Brother George.
You want to know why you don't feel it? I can tell you. It's high time right now.
Yep.
And I'm speaking for me, Kevin. I don't know your congregation.
Yeah.
It's high time that we empty out our pockets.
That's right,
say, God,
that's right.
Shake me.
Yeah.
Shake me. Yeah. See, I sit back here. I've got candy wrappers. I've got napkins. I've got tissues. All that wasn't from the night.
Yeah.
That was stuff that I carried in here with.
Yeah.
That was the stuff that we carried
that's
in
good.
Here.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, you know what God wants us to do? He's wanting us to let it go.
That's right, brother.
Hey, he's wanting us to do it like this. That's why he said, come boldly to that throne of grace.
Uh-huh.
That you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, if you ain't where you at or need to be with God or desire to be with God, you're in need.
That's right, brother.
You've carried it around so long and you can't. And here's what the devil will do. He'll say, oh, you don't. That's okay. God don't need you to let go of that.
That's right.
You know, you can continue to listen to him, and know what will happen?
Yes.
You'll just get more distant, and you'll get more distant.
That's right.
And you'll get more distant.
That's right, brother.
You'll get to a place where it don't feel like you, and you may be already there. I don't know.
Right,
you'll get to a place where it don't feel like your prayers is coming off
that
floor.
Yeah.
And God's saying, all I want you to do is empty out, empty it out.
Yes.
Yeah? And allow me to shake you. I love you, Dave, and I don't know where you stand with God. Well, I'm going to ask you another question. Is what you're carrying around worth your relationship with God?
That's good, preacher.
Because I promise you it's not.
Yeah,
it wasn't in David's life, and it ain't going to be in your life. See, David come to a place, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to stop.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
David come to a place where he didn't feel what he once felt.
Mm-hmm. Restoring.
See, when you get to a place in your life, Kevin, where you don't feel the presence of God, I'm telling you, it's a scary place.
It
is for me.
Amen.
You know what, David? 51 chapter of the book of Psalms.
Uh-huh.
He began to say in verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop. He said, and I shall be clean. He said, wash me, and he said, I shall be whiter than snow. He said, make me to hear the joy of gladness. He said, that the bones, he said, which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Oh, yeah.
He said, hide thy face from my sin. He said, blot out all my iniquities.
Amen.
And you know what he said?
Restore.
He said, get me to a place where I once was, God.
Yes.
He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Uh-huh.
He said, now listen. He said, oh God, renew a right spirit within me.
That's right, make it right.
He said, cast me not away of thy presence. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit out of me.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways.
That's right.
For God can use you first, you got to get it out of your life.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
You can't teach somebody else if you're carrying around yourself.
That's right, brother.
Before I close, I ask you a question again. What's in your pocket tonight?
Amen.
I love you, Dave.
Good word.